Rocky Top, up in the mountains, we talking sports. This is John Reed and Cody McClure, they give you more. This is Fox Sports, up in the booth, we going live. I'ma scream Rocky Top till I'm hoarse, until I die. Got a blue tick coon hound laying on the front porch. Fox Sports giving Tennessee what they asked for. I get my tickets from a scalper out in front of Neyland. This is our religion, this is what we all believe in. Talk sports, talk sports, talk sports, talk sports with John Reed and Cody McClure. Hey, talk sports, talk sports, talk sports, talk sports with John Reed and Cody McClure. Hey,
Rocky Top up in the mountains. Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Truly's will be a really good drink for this noon kickoff if you're out there. You don't feel bad for drinking Truly's at 10 a.m. Start pounding Truly's at 10 a.m. before the game. Safer than liquor. Only 100 calories. Won't leave you feeling bloated like beer. I truly couldn't recommend any other drink. If you're looking just to get a slight buzz. Take it easy, you know what I mean? Like, not go hardcore. You know, we recommend Volunteer Vodka whenever you want to go really hardcore. At my tailgate last week, I was mixing Truly with the Volunteer Vodka. But I just imagine you're not going to want to be pounding liquor at 10 a.m. Ditch the beer. Get you a truly refreshing beverage. Truly hard seltzer. Cody McClure, Hour 2 Headlines. Collision Course right now.
Thanks, John. I've got two tickets to this week's Chattanooga game. Eddie Money had two tickets to Paradise, and he has died. Eddie Money, that wasn't a very good transition.
I honestly thought you were going to say he had two tickets to hell, so that was better than... That was better than what I thought you were going
with. I was trying to connect the dots there, and I failed miserably.
Okay.
But Eddie Money has died, and that's sad news. He was 70.
I was ready to cringe at whatever you were going to say, so you might not feel good about it, but at least it didn't make me cringe. You tried. You tried to honor him. Although, Take Me Home Tonight is better than Two Tickets to Paradise.
I'm a Two Tickets to Paradise man.
I'm a Take Me Home Tonight guy.
Take me home tonight.
Until you see the light, right?
I can't remember.
I don't want to let you go till I see the light or something. I assume that means like the sun coming up.
Yeah, I don't remember the words other than the chorus.
Sure.
Kind of like Two Tickets to Paradise. I've got two tickets to paradise.
There's a whole generation that only knows Eddie Money from those, like, was it the Geico commercials?
Oh, really?
Wasn't there, like, is there a Geico commercial where he kept going like a travel agency and just like singing? It's like Eddie Money's like travel agency or something.
I don't know.
He would come in like trying to buy a trip somewhere. He just always kept trying to tell me I had two tickets to paradise.
Do they still use that lizard in their commercials?
Yeah.
Or gecko or whatever he is.
Yep, it's a gecko.
Which would make sense with a gecko.
Yeah.
Is he, you would think he would have died at some point. What's the average lifespan of a gecko?
Well, he's pretty animated.
I know, but I'm just saying like if you're going
to. I don't like the new look gecko. They changed looks like 5 or 6 years ago.
They did?
Yeah, I don't like the new look gecko.
I thought he looked the same all along.
No, he looks a little different. This one looks a lot more animated. Doesn't look very realistic. I miss the realistic looking gecko.
I think it's time for a new marketing campaign.
It's always a weird time. Like, this works really well. Do we switch it up?
Kind of like Flo from Progressive.
She still makes me laugh, though.
I still like her.
I mean, she's got her sidekick that they use more now. So like they keep Flo fresh.
Mayhem's the best one. He's my favorite one.
Mayhem's good.
Why is it that all the car insurance companies have some trademark?
And Geico had a, you know, they had the cavemen for a while. Like, and the cavemen were so big, they got their own TV show. Do you remember them getting their own TV show on ABC? Yeah.
The cavemen were good.
And that was really weird. Like, why are we giving these guys a TV show? No one watched it. So everyone's like, okay, yeah, never mind.
So easy a caveman could do it?
Yeah. Like, that was a pretty good ad campaign, too.
What does State Farm have?
State Farm just has the...
Chris Paul?
They do have the State... Chris... Yeah. Allstate was what I was thinking of with the fake Denzel.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have Mayhem. That's Allstate, right? When Mayhem, like me, strikes.
I don't think so.
Is Mayhem not with... That's not Allstate?
I don't think so.
I swear that's Allstate.
I thought they were...
Maybe not.
I mean, he might be, but the guy that looks like Denzel is also Allstate. No, you are because you're in good hands, right? Isn't that what Mayhem always says at the end?
Yeah, Mayhem is, yeah. He's a character for Allstate.
I guess they have both. They do the serious and the funny.
You know who he was inspired by? Mr. White from the 1992 film Reservoir Dogs, played by Harvey Keitel.
Okay.
That was the inspiration for Mayhem.
Okay.
Anyway, weird start to headlines.
Yeah, great start to headlines.
All right, well, let's continue here, shall we? Let's see.
You think Flo feels like she's getting like pushed out
by who?
By that other guy, like her sidekick that was like her assistant in the commercials, but now I only see him in the commercials mostly now.
The last one I saw was him he was on a date.
Yeah.
And it was like an awkward date. That's the one they're running now. And he's like, so what about me? Well, I like to go with the compare your price tool
right.
or whatever.
And then there's another one where he like goes over to the mom's house and like she's a single mom and the parents are like, or the kids are like, you're not my dad. And she's like, no, he's not. And he's like acting like kind of like he is. I feel like Flo's getting pushed out a little bit. That guy's taking her spot. Just something to keep an eye on.
Wonder how much she's worth.
Lot.
We've talked about that
before. Yeah, she
makes
a lot. I think she might be the highest paid endorser.
Progressive Flow net worth.
I think she's the highest paid endorser, is what we discovered last
time. Stephanie Courtney is her real name. She's worth about $1 million, it says.
That's it?
Yep. As of last year.
I wonder how much former Charlie makes.
Probably not that much.
I don't know.
I wonder how...
He's in the couple hundred grand a year category.
I mean, I wonder how accurate that is, too, you know? Like, how do people really know that, what our net worth should be?
Either way, so you got any more headlines?
Yeah, I got some others. Tim Tebow, he went off on the idea of student-athletes getting paid. You know, this California bill that was passed this week. Tim Tebow went on First Take, and he revealed that he is very much against the bill. He trashed the idea of college athletes being compensated. When I was at Florida, I had one of the top-selling jerseys in the world, Tebow said. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and I was right behind them. I didn't make a dollar from it, nor did I want to. I knew that going into college was what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it. Yeah, he talks about supporting his teammates, his college, his university. We're changing it from us, from we, from my university, and being an alumni, which makes college football special, to, okay, it's not about us, it's not about we, it's about me. We live in a selfish culture. We're adding and piling on to where it changes what's special about college football. We've turned it into the NFL, where it's about who has the most money, and that's where you go. Then he says that's why people are more passionate about college sports
isn't
than they
already,
are the NFL.
Isn't it already about who has the most money in college athletics? Like,
no, that's what we've turned it into, he says.
Well, I mean, go look at who spends the most money in recruiting. That not going to be who is the best in football? Like, I mean, Georgia.
They tend to be, yeah.
Spending like $1 million more than they used to, and now all of a sudden they're good at football, and like Alabama's there, and Oklahoma's there. Like, everyone who spends money in recruiting and who has the best money for facilities, aren't they the best programs? I mean, like, you couldn't say that Vanderbilt or Kentucky, I mean, maybe Kentucky could, but like, they're not paying their head coach $10 million a year. They might get blowback by doing that. Not every school can pay Dabo Swinney $100 million to coach their team. I don't want to make any assumptions about Tim Tebow, because I know his family, like, they did a lot of missionary work and stuff, right? So I don't know what type of background they came from, like, financially, but I don't feel like Tim Tebow's family needed money. Is that fair to say? Like, I don't think of Tim Tebow as somebody who was needing money while in school. I don't know that for sure.
They did a lot of mission work.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Tim Tebow's family do a bunch of mission work, I want to say? So maybe they didn't have money and didn't really care about money. I don't know what their background was. I just know that not everyone comes from Tim Tebow's background.
His father's name is Robert Ramsey Tebow II. So
sounds wealthy.
Yeah, he's definitely rich.
So, I mean, Tim Tebow saying he didn't need money while in school and didn't want any, that's cool. Not everyone's like that. Not everyone can afford to not... Or can afford to not want an extra $100,000 from their likeness.
Tebow's parents met while attending Florida, so they're both college educated.
I mean, that already gives them a leg up, especially when they probably went to school, you know what I mean?
Although his mother did suffer from a disease, amoebic dysentery.
I don't know what that means.
And fell into a coma while she was pregnant.
Oh, God.
What the hell? They expected a stillbirth and came out with Tim.
Miracle baby.
Really?
So, I mean, like, hearing Tim Tebow go off about how he didn't need money while he was in college, that's cute. That's cool. Good job by you. I'm happy that you didn't feel exploited and that you knew what you were signing up for. I don't think you saying that really matters to anybody else. I don't think there's very many like poor prospects right now trying to be a meal ticket for a family that's looking around saying, well, never mind. Tim Tebow said I shouldn't want this money. I'm going to turn it down.
Tebow is the youngest of five children, and they were all homeschooled before going to high school, where he attended the private Christian Academy, Trinity Christian Academy. So I think they probably had some money. Did you know Tim Tebow is dyslexic? He believes it is a gift from God.
Makes sense as to why he can't read defenses.
Oh. Come on now.
Get any other headlines?
Nope, that was it.
That was it? No, give me two?
I got some other ones. Ex-Warriors point guard Sean Livingston has announced his retirement after 15 seasons in the NBA.
That's probably good news for the Warriors, right? Less luxury tax money?
Yeah, open roster spot. Clears up a little money. After 15 years in the NBA, I'm excited, sad, fortunate, and grateful all in one breath, Sean said. Hard to put into a caption all the emotions it takes to try and accomplish your dreams. Sean Livingston retires from the Warriors.
It's going to be a different look for the Golden State Warriors next year, right? I mean, you're going to have Steph and Draymond, and Klay will get back eventually, but outside of that, most everyone else are going to be new faces. Kevon Looney's still there. I can't believe Kevon Looney signed for as much money as he did to return to Golden State. I feel like he could have made more than $5 million a year, but he'll be back in Golden State, but after that, it's going to be a whole lot of new blood, which is a good sign, I guess, in one respect of, hey, you're going to have fresh bodies and guys that are hungry to win. But on the other hand, it's like you lost a lot of what made the Warriors special, which was team continuity. Especially while Klay's out. It's going to be Steph, Draymond, Looney, who was, you know, mostly a bench player, 20 minutes a night type of guy, and then a whole bunch of new bodies. I still think the Warriors missed the playoffs. That's my NBA pick.
Not even going to make it at all, huh?
I don't think so.
Neat.
I don't think they will. But I said that before they got D'Angelo Russell, but I still don't think he pushed them over the edge. I will say they will be a 7 seed at max. Which will be a scary 7 seed if Klay Thompson comes back. I'll be a scary 7 seed, but I don't think they make the playoffs.
Well, we'll see how it shakes out.
Good batch of headlines by you, McClure. We'll talk some more football on the other side. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, you want to talk some college football or NFL football, McClure? We got some people asking some fantasy advice for who's to start over who. If you want some advice from us, that way at least you'll... I don't know if anybody actually values our opinion when it comes to fantasy sports, but I find myself doing this too, just like looking at rankings online. It's nice to just either A, feel some type of confirmation, like, oh yeah, they agree with me, I'm making the right decision, or B, having someone to blame if things go wrong.
Makes
like
sense.
You. If Russell Wilson outperforms Andy Dalton, you're going to be mad at me. Not yourself for doing it. You're just going to be like, I listen to John. John's an idiot.
Ultimately, it won't be my own fault. Yeah.
You'll be able to blame it on me. But if Andy Dalton performs well, you're probably going to try to take most of the credit. I knew to listen to John. It was a good decision by me.
Good decision. I knew he would be right about this one.
So feel free to tweet us in some questions. We got a couple already. So, yeah, feel free to send some in, and we'll do some fantasy talk at some point during the show. You want to go college or NFL?
We could go either one.
Wow.
We have a choice here.
Wow, Cody McClure's flexible today.
I mean, I assume we're going to talk about both of them.
At some point.
So I don't care which order we go in. What are you feeling? You know what I mean?
Well, we got a little bit of an update. Devin White, linebacker who was hurt last night for the Buccaneers. I said, I assume it's an ACL. It was not. It was just an MCL sprain. He's day-to-day. He'll have an extra couple days to rest and be ready for week three. That's big news for the Buccaneers. Those Thursday night games are so brutal, man. Why can we not get a good Thursday night game? I know we had a couple last year where people were like, oh, Thursday night games are back. But, man, they're just so brutal. So sloppy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just the short week, you know. I mean, it's
It might be that simple. It's just like you're recovering in 3 days.
Yeah, it's hard for teams to get ready that quickly, I guess. I mean, you play a full-blown NFL game on Sunday and got to turn right around and do it again Thursday. You really need a week in between games.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure when the TV numbers come out, that'll have at least like 15 million viewers.
Yeah, I mean, when it's the only thing on TV, it probably helps.
And that's even with being on like the NFL Network. They'll still have, you know, the Bucks and Panthers last night will probably be the most watched, or that game will probably be more watched than any college game from the weekend, any baseball game from the weekend.
Yeah, the thing about the NFL Network, that definitely rules out a lot of people who are cord cutters.
Is it hard to get that on your package?
Yeah, we had to go with the. I finally found my first negative with the YouTube TV.
Uh-oh.
We had to do a 7-day trial of Sling because YouTube TV doesn't get the NFL Network.
Mm.
So we did the 7-day free trial of Sling and then canceled it.
You didn't even like wait the whole 7 days. You're going to need it next week too.
I think it's going to run out. That's I think it'll try to charge.
Let you stay, yeah.
I think it'll try to charge. Brandon did it. I don't know, because I'd already used mine. Okay. So,
if you need to use my email next week, let me know.
Basically, I'm just going to need a new email every week.
So not a new card, too? Sometimes you have to have a new card to go with it.
Yeah, I think we got to have a card, too.
I'll give you – I got four cards in my wallet, man. We got at least four more weeks. And then I think by week four or week five, the NFL games will be like on either Fox or CBS or whatever. So
yeah.
For the Thursday night game. So I got you, fam. I got more cards in my wallet.
Okay, well, when you run out, I'll just need to crowdsource. Just if you could, maybe somebody who trusts me out there, I need about 10 of you to send me your credit card information and an email address. Just about 10 of you.
Jules, will you sign up to give Cody your debit card information?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Please do. Please do.
I saw
a
story.
Why not?
I saw a story from yesterday where a cashier is in hot water because he had stolen credit card information from 10 different people. Simply because he has a photographic memory. He was
really?
Able to just look at the cards and memorize the numbers, and he was able to go and
That's
steal
impressive.
Like their, he was able to go and steal their card number.
That's really impressive.
Because I've always sort of kind of been worried, like, hey, when I give this waiter or waitress my number, they can go take a picture of it with their phone.
Mm.
But this guy wasn't even doing that. He was just looking at it, could memorize it right then.
I say he deserves whatever he got.
Without, you know, within reason, like, I feel like you should be able to, like, up to $200 or so. I mean, what's a felony? $500? Keep it under $500, and I feel like you kind of deserve it.
Yeah, like if you can just look at my credit card and all of a sudden and you remember it, I'll give you for free up to $100 probably before I go
before
to the cops.
Like, hey, okay.
Yeah,
enough.
Like take it easy, buddy. Yeah, steal somebody else's. That
cool.
is a talent, though.
It would be really cool to have a photographic memory.
I always used to think I did, but I don't think I do.
No.
Would you rather, like, not that well.
Would you rather have a photographic memory or be able to be a speed reader? Should have been a this or that question. I mean,
what's a speed reader?
You know, seen the people that can like read books and like. Have you seen them? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Jules are like, they can, like read pages in like seconds.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And just skim it and read it and retain it. I don't know.
I think I'd rather have a photographic memory.
I've always felt the speed readers were full of it. I always felt like that was a scam.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have X-ray vision.
Because they'd always be trying to sell you stuff, like, hey, learn how to speed read. I'm like, well, I don't feel like this is something you can just learn.
Are you going to remember
yeah.
that you just speed read?
Is it photographic or photogenic? I keep
photographic.
Photographic.
A photographic memory.
Photogenic is when you take pictures well.
Okay.
It's like you're prettier in pictures than you are in real life.
Aren't we all?
No. Some people, it's the opposite. Some people look awful in pictures, and they're beautiful in real life.
Yeah, some people just take bad pictures.
Even if they know the camera's on, I feel like saying you're just bad at taking pictures is kind of the equivalent of, I'm really smart, I'm just a bad test taker. I feel like those are kind of the same thing.
No, I think, like, I've seen a lot of people in pictures before and been like, she's not that great. And then I see her, or him, whoever, in real life, it's like, wow, that's a pretty person. It's a beautiful person. I think that happens pretty often. You don't think so? You never saw a person in a photo, and you're like, But then you see them in real life. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would say those are probably different. There's probably different factors to all of that. Just being physically close to someone is always more appealing than being away from someone, right?
No, because if
there are catfishes.
No, if the person
take good pictures and you get around them, you're like, whoa.
Right. See, that's the other end of the spectrum.
But I think those people are specifically trying to trick you with their pictures.
I think some people.
If you took a picture of like just standing up smiling outside and you looked good in your picture, you're going to look the same. It's different than trying to get angles and all that stuff.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
There's some people that you can take a picture and. Are we counting filters or no?
No filters.
No filters. I still think there are some people that you can take a picture of them and they either look better or worse than they do in normal life.
Okay. I feel like attractive people just look attractive in pictures too. Again, like you can catch bad angles like when you're not expecting a picture. That's a little bit different. But if you're looking at the camera, like if you're attractive, you're going to
find pictures. I think in general, if you're attractive, like you can see that they're attractive.
I feel like it is just the equivalent of I'm smart. I'm just a bad test taster. A test taker.
Taste tester.
Yeah. I always feel like that's just an excuse.
You don't think that's a thing either?
I just feel like that means you're not that smart.
Well, what if you're very capable of critical thinking and you can think deeply, but you just can't answer questions that are like blatant questions?
Well, then you're good at being a critical thinker, but you're not good at memorizing facts. Like you're not good at.
But that doesn't mean you're not smart.
Sure.
I think there's different kinds of smart.
I think there's a lot of people that claim they're smart and know the material, but then just like freak out on tests. I don't really buy that. Although, you know, maybe people just have really bad anxiety. I don't know. I've never experienced it.
There is a lot of pressure with tests.
Not if you know what you're talking about.
I can remember several tests I took, and they said, Cody, if you don't get a 76 or better on this test, you failed the class. Oh, damn it.
Were you
I haven't gotten a 76 all semester.
But were you walking in and be like, I'm so smart, I got this, and then they threw a curveball at you, or you're just like, I don't really know this
stuff? No, yeah. I didn't walk in with a lot of confidence. Yeah. It depends on the class. I mean,
some good NFL games this weekend. Some really good NFL games this weekend. We'll start looking at them next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. All lines used when referencing these NFL games are from my bookie. Use the promo code Knoxville. Make a deposit. They will match your deposit 100% up to $1,000. Rollover conditions and terms do apply. Cody, when you're looking at this NFL slate, we got a couple, we got at least one heavy, super duper heavyweight matchup. A revenge game when the Saints head out to Los Angeles to play the Rams. I feel like that's the game of the weekend. I feel like that's the one that people will be paying attention to. It's kind of surprising to me that the Rams are favored by less than a field goal in this game. I don't quite understand that. What are your thoughts about your Saints heading out to play your Rams?
Well, I think that the Rams in L.A. obviously have the advantage because, you know, Breeze in the last, well, really historically his whole career, I mean, he's never really traveled as well as he's played at home.
That's what I don't understand about this game. It's outside. It's not cold, obviously. Like, L.A.'s got good weather, but Drew Breeze is just a different quarterback outside.
He's a different quarterback. I think that the Rams' D-line can cause a lot of problems for them in the passing game. They only got a couple weapons, Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas. But on the flip side of that, the Rams' weakness is their run defense, and Alvin Kamara is kind of a spitting image of what they saw last week in Christian McCaffrey, which is an interesting angle to this game to me. I don't know that a team has had to go against two running backs this good back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but at least the Rams, they went to Carolina last week, and they survived against McCaffrey. I think the Saints are a much better team than the Panthers, though.
I hadn't really taken that into consideration, the
Kamara
going from McCaffrey to Kamara.
I think Kamara's going to have a big game.
Because McCaffrey did have a big game on them last week. Now, some would say, hey, yeah, we saw that last week. We know how to prepare for it better this week.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I like the Rams' D-line and the pass rush, but they give up a lot of rushing yards, so I think Kamara could have a big game. I still would definitely favor the Rams.
Do the Saints have the discipline to keep handing the ball off to Kamara? Do they have the discipline to ride that game plan out?
If it's working, I mean, that's what the Panthers did, but it was working.
The Panthers couldn't score. I mean, I know they scored a lot of points, but the Panthers couldn't score at the same rate, though, that the Rams do. You know what I mean? Like, the Panthers were always kind of coming from, you know, 7-10 points down, and I almost feel like the Rams were content with letting them have these long drives, but I feel like the Rams against the Saints are going to score a lot of points. Although the Saints, I mean, I don't know, the Saints offense is good. I just didn't like the way they protected Drew Brees on Monday night. It felt like the Texans' pass rush was there. It wasn't J.J. Watt, but it did feel like the Texans' pass rush did create some problems for New Orleans, and I feel like the Rams have two of the best defensive linemen in the league, at least if you take what Dante Fowler did in Week 1. I mean, he graded out as the best pass rusher in the NFL, and we know what Aaron Donald does.
Right. Those two guys could wreak havoc on that Saints O-line.
It's a little bit of a rivalry here, too, though, right? I mean, the Rams versus the Saints is kind of morphing into an NFC rivalry. They played in the regular season last year, played a really good game, and then met up again in the NFC Championship, and you know what happened then.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it is a revenge game. It's got to be. After what happened last year, the Saints really did get screwed in that game. Of course, it was the officials that did it to them. I mean, it wasn't the Rams.
The Rams are mad talking about it. They keep asking the Rams about the Saints and, like, this pass interference, and, like, they've been visibly upset. Sean McVay's like, we got to quit talking about this. It's over.
Yeah.
Like, the Saints want to keep reminding everybody, hey, this is the only reason we lost, but the Rams are like, hey, it's over.
That might inspire the Rams to come out and just kick them in the mouth, you know?
Well, they have had to hear all offseason about how they shouldn't have been in the Super Bowl, right? How the Saints are better than them, how the Saints should have been 2-0 against them last year, blah, blah, blah. Now, both those games were in New Orleans, whereas this one is in Los Angeles, but 2-point spread on my bookie. Am I crazy for thinking that that's a point and a half too low? Like, I feel like the Rams should be favored by at least 3.5.
I don't think you're crazy. I mean, I think it's going to be a tight game, though. The thing is, these two quarterbacks are kind of similar to me in the way they finished last year. Goff and Brees were both thought of, you know, the first half of the season as just, these guys are incredible, you know, MVP, MVP.
Sure.
And then both of them fell off the second half of the year. So I would imagine both quarterbacks kind of feel like they've got something to prove here in this game.
Well, I would say that the big difference, obviously, is age, right? Like, Drew Brees falls off at the end of last year. I think, oh, man, he's washed. He might be over a cliff. Jared Goff closes out poorly last year, and you're like, okay, well, it's year three for him.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting figured out a little bit, getting a little tired. The games get a little bit more pressurized.
I still want to see if one of these quarterbacks can have a big day.
What'd Goff do week one against the Panthers? 23.
He wasn't great.
No, 23 of 39, 186, a touchdown, interception. No, he was poor.
Yeah.
I think the Panthers' defense is pretty good.
Brees ended up throwing for like 300 and something yards.
Yeah, Brees' numbers look good, but when I actually watched Brees play, I didn't feel like he played a good game, especially not a good first half.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't want to have confirmation bias because I've been kind of beating the drum that Drew Brees was done, so I don't want to come out and say he played poorly just to feel like I'm right about it, but I feel like he left some points on the table, especially in the first half.
He did.
But his final numbers look good, like you said, 32 of 43, 370, 2 touchdowns. Like, that's pretty good stats.
370, I mean, that's a pretty good day at the office, but it's still, you know, if you watch the way he played, it wasn't his most complete game by any means.
I kind of think this is a statement game, though, from the Rams.
I think it could be a statement game for Goff.
I think everyone's looking at it as a revenge game for the Saints, right? Like, hey, the Saints got screwed last year. They're going to prove it once and for all. Hey, we're better than the Rams. I think it's the opposite. I think the Rams look at this game as like, just shut the hell up already.
Yeah.
Shut up already. We're going to come out. We're going to embarrass you at home. We're going to win this game. And we're going to tell you to pipe down that, you know, last year's over. We're back to being the class of the NFC.
Yeah.
There's a reason we beat you guys last year. You can whine and complain about the pass interference. It doesn't change the fact that you are at home, that you won the coin toss in overtime and got the ball first, that Drew Brees threw an interception in overtime and lost the game. You can complain about the officiating all you want. It doesn't matter. You had all these other advantages, and you still blew it.
I hope that's the approach the Rams take, because I think I agree with you on this one. I mean, it
Sean McVay feels like the jerk that would be in the locker room saying that, right?
Yeah. It feels like a Rams game to me. I mean, I think Gurley looked good in week one. I think he's going to come out. And between him and the weapons that Goff has, I think Goff will play well. I think they're going to move the ball well. And then on the other side, I mean, Fowler and Donald, they got to wreak havoc. But I think Kamara could hurt him, though. I think Kamara will have a big game.
Kamara's always going to have a big game. I'm not worried about Kamara. I would be a little bit worried, or at least I'm really intrigued in the matchup of Michael Thomas. Kamara's going to get his, right? Like, you've kind of pointed that out. The Panthers couldn't stop McCaffrey. What makes you think they're going to stop Kamara? But I look back to the NFC Championship game last year. You see Michael Thomas' stats in the NFC Championship game last year? Do you remember those? 4 catches for 36 yards.
That's it.
You're supposed to be the number one receiver in the league. You're the highest paid receiver in the league, at least till Julio got his contract last weekend. You're supposed to be number one. You went up against a Rams secondary that's physical, that wants to punish you. And in the biggest game of the year, you came up with 4 catches for 36 yards on 7 targets.
That's not going to get it done.
One of those was even 19 yards. So really, you know, you had 3 catches for 17 yards, and then you busted one big one. I want to see how Michael Thomas responds, because obviously if the Saints get a good performance from Michael Thomas, that helps them. If he's 4 catches for 36 yards guy, I don't think they have a chance in hell of winning on the road. It's crazy to see that because they played twice last year, like I said. In the Superdome regular season, he had 12 catches, 211 yards, and a touchdown, and whipped Peter's ass. Talib had nothing for him.
That was in which game?
That was a regular season game. And then the playoffs when it mattered. And I don't even know if Talib was actually in that first game. I know Peters was, because Peters was the one getting whipped. I don't know if Talib actually played that game. But in the playoffs, like I said, the biggest game of the year, you come out and you catch 4 balls for 36 yards.
Keep Talib's been in the game a long time.
I mean, he's still their alpha. He's still their alpha. I'm trying to see if he showed up in the – he didn't show up in the stat line for game one in the regular season last year. So I feel like he was that was one of the games he was hurt. Everyone keeps talking about revenge, 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 revenge. I think it's a statement game for the Rams. Like I said, on my bookie right now, the spread is -2. I look at that and I say the Rams are winning by at least a field goal.
Akeem Talib said he's tired of the New Orleans thing.
See?
Did you see what he said?
See? No. I mean, I know the Rams are tired of talking about it, but I didn't know Talib said it. And
he said it's a New Orleans problem. It's not an L.A. problem.
Yeah. I mean, it is a New Orleans problem. It cost them a trip to the Super Bowl. But like I said, they still had the ball to start overtime with their offense on the field, and they choked. They gagged like a bunch of dogs. I like the Rams in the game of the week.
Nickel Roby Coleman, the other guy in the secondary, he's the backup corner. He said he's watched that play between 4,000 and 5,000 times.
Well, he's the one in the play.
Yeah.
He's the one who hit the receiver a little bit too early, I believe.
He said he's watched it between 4,000 and 5,000 times. That seems excessive.
I don't doubt he has, though. He probably has. Rams roll. IMO. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Alright, let's blow through a couple fantasy questions. We had a couple. Not a lot, but we did have some people asking some questions. Let's go first. Corey tweets in, Cam Newton and Trubisky. What waiver wire quarterback should I pick up? I've been telling people Andy Dalton. That's what I've been telling people. You threw the ball 56 times last week against Seattle on the road. Sean McVay's offense. I feel like the strength of the team, even without A.J. Green, are the wide receivers. I think Tyler Boyd, and if you get what you got from John Ross III last week, every week, or at least somewhat of that. I know he kind of had a fluky touchdown at the end of the first half. It was a good catch, but probably should have been tackled. It was kind of a Hail Mary play type of thing, but I keep telling everybody Andy Dalton. If Josh Allen's out there, I kind of like, especially, well, if you have Cam Newton, you probably started him last night and are hating yourself. If you need a streaming quarterback this week, I don't hate Josh Allen. I almost started Josh Allen over Big Ben in my big league. Squad's so nasty in that big league I told you I was in, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
I love my squad, but I got a quarterback situation on my hand.
That's the thing about having a good squad.
Got to have one weakness.
Yeah.
Either like a weak running back or a weak tight end, or in my situation, a weak quarterback. I'm giving Big Ben one more week, but Josh Allen and Andy Dalton are both guys I think will put up big stats.
Yeah. To answer the guy's question, though, if he's just choosing between Trubisky and Cam, you got to go with Trubisky.
Well, I think he was looking for he asked for like a waiver wire quarterback.
Oh, an alternate option?
Yeah. I don't feel comfortable with either one of those guys, man. Like,
unless
the Packers just all of a sudden have the best defense in the world, like, I have zero confidence in Mitchell Trubisky. And like I said earlier in the show, I don't have much confidence at all that Cam Newton plays deep into this year. Another tweeter writes in, Hollywood Brown, Will Fuller, or Josh Gordon. I'm not taking Hollywood Brown. I'm not dropping him by any means, obviously. You keep him rostered, but I'm not ready to start him. I thought last week was a little bit of a fluke. I mean, he had four catches, right? I mean, four catches, 135 yards or so, and two touchdowns. All that pretty much came in the first quarter. Now, granted, the game flow just got to the point where they weren't really necessarily throwing bombs anymore, but they were still trying to score. Will Fuller against the Jacksonville secondary. Jacksonville did get lit up by Mahomes. I'm probably going Josh Gordon just for what we talked about with last week and seeing what the Dolphins secondary did. I would like to have a piece of the Patriots this week. Like, I'd start Antonio Brown, like, being worried. I wouldn't expect much from him. Yeah, I would have to have some two pretty good receivers or a good flex option to keep him on the bench. He's ranked as high as 10 by some people, some experts. I'd be a little bit more cautious on him. But as far as Josh Gordon, I mean, I feel like they're going to have their way with 10, 15, 20-yard crossing routes. And I feel like Josh Gordon will probably have the best game of those three. I'd probably rank them Gordon, Fuller, Brown. I just feel like Brown is someone who is going to have to prove it before I actually put him in a starting lineup. I don't think this is a crazy thing to say by any means when you look at 135 yards and two touchdowns, but I feel like we probably saw the peak of Hollywood Brown last week.
Just one great week, and then
I'm not saying he won't be startable, but I just feel like, I mean, that was the peak. Like, honestly, I probably would have been trying to trade him. I don't know if he's going to be that type of number one receiver. We'll see, though. Baltimore's talked a lot about having the best offense ever, is what they keep talking about. They want to have the most explosive offense ever. But if they can just have a really, really good defense, that obviously goes a long way for Baltimore and with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, the only thing about taking the piece of New England is we had another guy ask our thoughts on James White. He said he's got him and he doesn't like it, but he can't justify cutting him. A lot of mouths to feed in New England.
Yeah.
They got weapons now.
I was more so talking about the wide receivers, the running backs, man. Like, he obviously understands about the mouths to feed, but like, I, for the last 3 years, haven't really felt confident starting any of these New England running backs. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of last year, obviously they gave the ball to Sony Michel, but week one against Pittsburgh, Michelle didn't really do much. You would think this would be a game that New England scores 35, 40 points. That probably means James White's not going to be getting, dump downs in this game. They probably will do more of the Burkhead and Sony Michel running the ball. Another guy writes in about Big Ben or Rodgers.
Rodgers.
Rodgers hasn't been great.
He wasn't great last week. But
wasn't great last week because they say only a third of his passes were on target. That's what Pro Football Focus's chart said after they went back and watched the game.
Got to expect a bounce back from Rodgers.
I think Rodgers was the answer for the rest of the season. But, man, like, the Vikings defense looked really good against the Falcons, right? They put Rhodes on Julio, and he kind of slowed down Julio. He's going up against Devontae Adams this week, and, you know, there's something to it that, like, you know, if you shut down one top-flight receiver, I'm a little nervous about another top-flight receiver. And if you shut down Adams, I don't know how good this Packers offense is going to be. And, you know, Minnesota has a good defense. That's a tough one. I think I would go with Big Ben at home. But I don't have much confidence in Big Ben at all. Right, I talked about that with my league. How I'm giving him one more chance. Although, if you go back to last year, let's see, Devontae Adams against Minnesota, 8 catches, 70 yards, 1 touchdown at Minnesota. At home, 8 catches, 64 yards. I mean, he did okay. The offense moved a little bit. That obviously helps Aaron Rodgers. You're going with Rodgers, you said?
Yeah, I'm going with Rodgers. I think he'll bounce back this week. Big Ben, I don't know. I never have a lot of confidence at all in Big Ben.
Big Ben's kind of like Drew Brees in the sense of if he's on the road, bench him. If he's home, start him. That's usually how it goes with Big Ben. His home and away splits are pretty damning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Rodgers' games last year against Minnesota. Now, obviously, it's a little bit different of a Packers team, but 17 of 28, 198 and a touchdown at Minnesota at home. 30 of 42, 281 and a touchdown. Probably going with Big Ben. I'll say Big Ben. Let me go over to my bookie and see what that over-under is, because I want to say that over-under is pretty low in this game. They're not expecting a lot of scoring in the Vikings and Packers.
I could see that. I mean, if it's anything like that Bears game last week.
I think it's similar to that game. I think what you saw with Minnesota's makes me think that they're going to try to control the ball on the ground. Right? I mean, they
Dalvin Cook.
Game flow kind of pointed that way towards Minnesota because they jumped out early, but Dalvin Cook looked good. The Vikings ran the ball a lot. Kirk Cousins only threw it 10 times, and if you can keep Kirk Cousins throwing the ball somewhere between 15 and 20 times, that probably means the game's going the way Minnesota wants it to go. They'll probably try to shorten this game, and the Vikings' defensive line's good, man. Their defense is really, really good. That over-under is at 43, though, so that's a little bit higher than I thought.
You think it'll go under 43?
I don't know. I think both those defenses are good, but I think there's a lot of talent on offense, right? It's not like last night's Bucks-Panthers game. Like, it's crazy that over-under is 6 points higher in the Bucks-Panthers game because I talked about how much talent there is on the offensive side of the ball in that game. The Vikings-Packers, like, you can name the skill players, right? I mean, Devontae Adams is great.
Thielen and Diggs
are great. Cook and Jones are good running backs, and Cousins and Rodgers have been really good statistically the last couple years. But those defenses are good, and the Packers spent a lot of money trying to improve their defense. So if you ask me if I think it's going to go over or under, I don't really have a feel.
42.5.
43.5.
Yeah, it just showed it on ESPN.
Oh, okay, I'm looking right now.
They had 42.5.
They use Caesars. They use Caesars point spreads. We use my bookie. We're my bookie family over here, okay?
Yeah, I see.
43.5. I mean, 24-20, Packers is kind of how I feel this game going. Like, right at it. Right at the, you know, 2.5, 3-point spread, right at the over-under. That means Rodgers is going to throw 3 touchdowns at most. After watching Andy Dalton throw for 400 yards on the Seahawks, though, kind of think Big Ben's going to do similar.
They're playing the Seahawks?
Yeah, at home.
Rodgers is going at Minnesota?
No, they're at home, too.
They're at home.
Both those quarterbacks seem to bounce back. Like both those quarterbacks are right on the peak of, like, right on the edge of washed, at least with the conversation, because Rodgers wasn't good last year, and Big Ben wasn't good in week one.
I changed my mind. I'm going Big Ben, and I think the Vikings are going to beat the Packers.
Yeah, the Vikings beating the Packers. I mean, that's the Vikings dominated the Falcons.
I think the Vikings are – I think maybe – I don't know. Maybe I could be speaking too soon. But last year was supposed to be their year to come back and make it to the Super Bowl, right? Maybe they just took a little hiatus.
The Vikings you're talking about?
Yeah. I think we're going to see the Vikings be more like they were 2 years ago.
They got a healthy Dalvin Cook. I know they had Dalvin Cook last year, but he was not healthy.
He looked good in week one.
He looks explosive and really fast. And like I said, they have two of the top 10, top 12 wide receivers. They are loaded on offense. It's just whether or not you trust Kirk Cousins going on the road against a team with a winning record. And I don't.
It's hard to.
I don't. Like, I think the Vikings have everything you want except a quarterback. And I know Kirk Cousins puts up good numbers, but I don't trust him in games like these. This is the type of game he loses with a back-breaking interception.
Fair enough.
Although last year he went into Green Bay week two and got a tie. He went on a huge drive at the end of the game that they got 8 points on. He threw a really nice touchdown to Thielen, then a really nice two-point conversion to Diggs. Then neither one of them scored in overtime. All right, there's a little bit of a, I guess, fantasy football ranking type of segment. I don't know. Hour two is now in the books. We'll kick off hour three after the break.